What's up, guys? This is John Robinson. Before we get started, obviously, or of course, there was an update to the Diddy case right after we got done. So I want to give you guys this update so we don't sound too crazy. We were talking about how Diddy's homes got raided in L.A. and Miami. And I believe Sarah brought up that he was on his way out the country. Apparently, the jet was, but he was not on it. So the first update was, according to multiple sources, Diddy was not on his jet in Antigua. I believe that's how you pronounce it, A-N-T-I-G-U-A. It's being reported he was detained in Miami. And then the second update, this is from TMZ, Diddy was spotted outside a customs office at the Miami Opa-locka Executive Airport. In video obtained by TMZ, taken a few hours after the raids on his home, Diddy can be seen by himself pacing around. According to eyewitnesses, Diddy was waiting on other people in his party who were also stopped and questioned by federal authorities. He wasn't in handcuffs, nor did he appear to be facing any sort of arrest at the time. So that is the update. I'm doing this early in the morning before I'm editing the podcast. I also want to make sure that I believe I said Justin and King were in handcuffs. I don't think they were arrested. They were just being detained at the time. So that's the update. Enjoy the episode. Thanks for listening, guys.
Podcast. I'm sorry. I got to do a podcast now. I got to do the Jonathan's on the phone. Oh, sorry. Later, okay? After I get done, okay? Now she mad.
Yeah, I heard her. She was like, ugh.
Yeah. What happened? All her friends left? They left. They went to Miami for spring break?
They went to Michigan. Some went to California.
What did you just do? Florida. Why do you sound different now?
It doesn't matter, John. All you had to just say, you're covering your mic. That's all you had to say.
I said, what did you do?
All you had to do was say, cover your mic, man.
Damn, this guy. I'm leaving the audio in so people can hear it. They gonna be like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, man, shut the fuck up.
Yo, why are you talking like that?
No.
Jermaine, what? You gonna go see Rick Ross at the Piazza?
Yeah, I'm going. Nah, I ain't going.
I was like, oh, you going for real?
Are y'all going?
Hell no. Nah.
What is Rick Ross doing at the Piazza?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Is this even for real?
Y'all don't believe that that's real?
Like, what?
No, I believe it.
I mean, what is he doing at the Piazza? Why is he not in the city somewhere?
He can't go to Chicago. You know the rules.
There we go.
The Piazza out of all places, though? I don't know. I just need somebody to help me make sense of all this.
Ross' home is at, let's see. Yeah, here we go. April 13th, Rick Ross at the Piazza. How much y'all think tickets going for?
I don't know. Yeah, check.
I don't know what it looked like now.
Yeah. It's not even the Ticketmaster. It's at ctickets.us.
Dang, this don't sound right. Not even Eventbrite?
Nope. You can print the tickets at home. That's how they tell you. Let me see. They don't got no price.
Oh.
Let's all go in on VIP.
Oh, $85 to $100 for general admission.
Where's the VIP tickets?
$125.
Let's do that.
Let's not say we did.
There we go.
Saturday, April 13th. Only. Who is he working with? Magic, SMG, Jimmy, and R&D officially. All right. Y'all ready to start the show?
Nah, man. I'll do this next week.
All right. Sarah, you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Studio Flows. About a week ago, I'm one of your hosts, John Robinson, joined by Manny Fontaine.
Yes, sir.
Go to him first. Sarah J.
What up?
Oh, my goodness. These are the weeks you live for, man. You know what? This year is shaping up to, like, we could have went back to just doing reviews.
We
ain't got to cover the news, except we would have did an emergency podcast. Manny Fontaine wanted to do emergency, right? He called me Friday. He said, yo, more than the food, got discount on Uber Eats. mind y'all, this place is right across the street. He could have just told me to go get it. So I was like, all right, cool. He's like, all right, get off the phone. He's like, I'll be over there in a few. Get off the phone. Soon I got off the phone with him. Doorbell, Uber Eats lady showed up. I was like, all right, and set it there, chilling. Call back 5 minutes later. I'm thinking he's asking about the food. He said, where is Sarah? It is time to pod. I said, what are you talking about? He said, did you hear that Kendrick diss? He said, you hear that Kendrick diss? I said, yeah, man, we'll talk about it. What'd you say? You said, I got the events wrong?
I said a cooler than that.
Oh, okay, so, yeah.
Where is Sarah? Yeah. I ain't saying like that. Come on.
Man. Where's Sarah? Where's your wife? I said, whoa, what's going on? He said, it was like really a pod. Hey, I'm not going to hold you. This was one of those moments that if we didn't pod the way we pod or have maybe after the break and I come back, I start doing more of these. But I definitely could have came down here and did a reaction video to this because everybody else and their mama did. And they get numbers. I'm like, yo.
Everybody did a reaction.
Everybody was like, and I woke up with it. I woke up. I was off Friday. And I saw, and this is, I'm going to give y'all, because we're getting into the Kendrick diss. We might as well, this biggest news of the week. This is what happened. I was going through my feeds, my RSS feeds, and it said, Kendrick Lamar, this is J. Cole and Drake. And I thought, yeah, all right. This is going to be some little bit of lies, nothing. You got to read into it, blah, blah. And then I did the Manny Fontaine. I pulled up the Metro Boomin and Future, We Don't Trust You, and went straight to that song. I was like, usually I'm like, oh, let me listen to that. I said, nah, let me go straight to the song because it wasn't a single. So I went straight to that like that, heard the 3-6 Mafia. Obviously, I know it's from Rodney O, Everlasting Bass. But I heard it first for Who's the Crunkest in the Motherfucker? That's how I first heard that, a sample. And I said, okay, what's going on here? And Kendrick got on there. And from bar one, he was snapping. I said, golly.
Yeah.
So he did that. Fuck the big three. It's just Big Me, K-Knots. Because we're recording this on a Monday. As we have gotten through more and more, I told you guys, well, do y'all first get y'all opinions, and I'm going to give y'all my thoughts. Well, Manny Fontaine, what did you think when you first heard it?
I was groovy, man. I was exactly what we needed. I felt like... I felt this little hip hop has.
Yeah, we've been dealing with this stupid March weather. Yeah.
Yeah. March weather.
Sarah J, what did you think when you heard it?
I thought it was great. And I thought he told the truth.
About what?
He said there ain't no big three. It's just me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So we go back to first person shooter because he did say that first person shooter, y'all better bring three switches. Sorry. Right. And I don't know if we said this on the pod, if I ever said this on the pod, but I think I told Sarah this, and I told you this afterwards, after this came out, that on First Person Shooter, J. Cole is the only one who mentions Kendrick's name. Drake doesn't do it. Drake does the, who is just me and Cole, and you know, from November to January, he never mentions Kendrick's name. And then if you go back to... like that, he's like, I'm paranoid. Like, I think he gets in his head, like, how come you ain't say my name? Why this nigga say my name, but you ain't saying my name, blah, blah, right? And then, and like that, he had, if I walk around with a stick and I got PTSD, I'm mixing the lines. Those two references are to J. Cole's Dreamville. I think both of them are Dreamville.
John, get it right if you're going to do this, all right?
Well, yeah. I know Stick is on Dreamville. Yeah, golly. Right.
Man, I'm just, this is just sloppy.
All right, you got it. You ISO. Let's go.
If I would have had the lyrics up in front of me. I don't feel like doing that right now. I'm trying to let you shoot.
No, you got it. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you got it.
No, see, he tried to take over and was like, no, don't worry about it. I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to just sit back here.
But go ahead. What was your point, though? I'm sorry.
Who? And when should respond to this and how?
Both of them should respond. J. Cole has time. He don't have to respond fast.
Well, he's already in album mode, which a lot of people brought up that he's in album mode and Kendrick didn't care, blah, blah.
I don't know what Drake is going to say, all right? So look at this, how I look at it. Drake, he's always talking about numbers and stuff. That's the only way he knows he could be the best. Lyrically, he's not going to be the best.
No, never.
So he knows that, right? So he's going to use his popularity. Like, oh, I could do a versus and kill you. You know?
Yeah, I got more hits. But Prince outlived Mike Jack.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, that's why it's really not a battle for Drake. Drake is already dead. He said.
Dang.
He shot, he's dead.
Okay.
J. Cole is kind of wounded, but he put a band-aid on and now he's straight. Like, the one that's really hurt is Big Sean. Shit, he came out.
Poor Big Sean. So Big Sean, a couple of days, before, or maybe Thursday or Wednesday, I can't remember, he dropped this freestyle over Far Size Drop. I think that's what the sample they was using. And he had mentioned, oh, I don't have the energy to compete with your so-called big three, constantly my enemies, blah, blah, blah. It was cool. And then the single he drops, Precision, which is over another song that was sampled by 3-6, Popping My Collar, that 3-6 did with it. And nobody's talking about it. Not a soul. It was a good song.
It was a good song.
And nobody is talking about this at all. They're all talking. It's the second time that, because on Control, when Kendrick was on there, it was a Big Sean song, and everybody was talking about the Kendrick part about it. Does anybody have any thoughts, theories on why Kendrick and Drake seem to have issues? My simple explanation why y'all sit there and ponder is I'm reminded of the house party scene. Manny Fontaine, you're very familiar with this movie. When Play told Kid that, yo, I'm the only person that could rap at this party, and he starts rapping, and he's like, oh, and Kid's just like, y'all like this prehistoric
shit?
Feel like Kendrick feels this way, like, y'all like this shit? This is the shit y'all really like. This is the shit that he's giving y'all. Y'all think this is good. This is fast food.
I think that's the best analogy for it, because that's exactly how he looks at Drake. Like I said, this nigga's not really it. But y'all be acting like this nigga it. You know? And that's just what it is. He's just like, this nigga's not it.
Do you guys think that Drake can get away with a feature? So remember when Joe Budden and Drake had their issues, when Joe Budden just ripped off like 6 damn songs in a row? Drake just did a feature with French Montana, and all he did was like, pump it up, and then threw it away.
No.
It has to be.
He's done. He got it.
Go ahead.
No, that's just crazy. If he does, no. The way Kendrick came at both of them, they have to come really correct. They really have to, like,
go ahead.
If Drake plays it like that, it's just basically him saying, this is all about Drake's pride right now. It's not about anything else, because people are still going to like Drake and stuff like that. It's just rappers, no. They're going to be like, oh, Drake, you took this off. He took this off way off when he went against Joe Budden. Everybody knows that, really. He was afraid to go bar for bar with Joe Budden. And that's a real life situation.
And
he
then
didn't want to go.
The Pusha T situation, Jay Prince stepped in. Like,
yeah,
oh,
so he's always been saved, right?
Yeah, Drake had to call his dad.
With the two with that, I feel like he probably wasn't going to win those. He wasn't saved against Common. He wasn't saved against Meek Mill, obviously. Anybody else? He's throwing shots at Kanye. It ain't really no big deal. I'm trying to see what other beef he had.
Yeah, but when he goes against lyrical niggas.
No. Yeah, but with Common, he didn't even try. With Meek Mill, he won that one.
Yeah. Common, I mean, no, when he said the guy started acting like the broads, and we can't reach running to you. I mean, Common did come back with
the personal.
Canada Dry. What do you think it was over Serena? That's what that was?
Yeah, I think it was. That was a personal shot.
But
that was really.
Aren't they already at a disadvantage? Not because Kendrick went third first. It's the fact that Kendrick said, y'all clicking up. So even if they do separate disses, it looks wild.
Like, first person shooter song is so hard though.
I love that song.
Song is so hard. Like, I went back and played it, and I was like, yo,
so then it was like, what about when Cole was like, since everybody say they steppers, I'm gonna finish my breakfast. Could that have been a shot?
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I think that was. That was yeah.
I didn't catch it at
first.
But
we all knew that J. Cole and Kendrick have subliminally been taking little shots at each other as in a friendly competition. You know that this is all they love each other. Like they're like homies. But they're gonna test each other's sword against one another. So that's what's fun about this one. Now I don't think Drake has a shot in the dark. I think he's really dead. Mm. Like it's like, all right, just go back to think about Michael Jackson and how much money you got, because that's all Drake can really focus on. And then to me, that's not really being a rapper. If you only talking about how much money you got and how much hits you got, that's not really the art of like hip hop. Like it's about just getting to it, as in spitting like just, you know, having an arsenal of like words to kill somebody, you know. How not good talking you, boasting. Yeah. It's boasting, but it's not when it comes to.
I think that's the difficulty part too with Kendrick. What angle do you come at? Right.
I don't know.
I mean, Jay. I was gonna say.
What would you write if you had to, John, right now?
Right about kid, I'm trying to think. Like he already talked about him cheating on his wife, so it's like he can't even bring that shit up. Kendrick did on the last album. He talked about his sex addiction and cheating, so you don't get to use that. All you really
has, so you said Kendrick pulled the Eminem.
He did.
He's always been looking in at Uncle Tom.
Yeah,
right. What do you say? He's always been transparent.
Yeah, he's always been self-reflection and introspective. So it's too much. The only thing you really got on him is inconsistency in hits.
No, you just got to talk about how you murder him. Like you just got to go into like.
Well, isn't that what J. Cole did earlier?
Goku versus Vegeta.
Do y'all remember that?
What?
All right. So when Kendrick did the Control verse, a couple of rappers respond. I remember Joe Budden respond. I think Meek did. Big Crit on Mount Olympus. But J. Cole also responded on, was it a Justin Timberlake song featuring J. Cole or something like that? And he basically talked about how he would kidnap him and murder or something like that. He told like a little mini story on there. So I was like, he's just going to do that again?
No, he ain't gonna do that again. We know that. Joe, you playing J. Cole right now. You cavalry.
Yo, somebody put up Black Friday. Y'all remember that a couple of years ago where they jumped on each other's beats?
Yeah.
Kendrick did such a good job. And J. Cole, I was so disappointed because J. Cole jumped on We Gonna Be Alright. And I was like, I did not like this flow for this song that you chose.
I remember that.
We watched J. Cole's Might Delete Volume 2. We forgot to talk about this last week. I showed it to Sarah. I don't know if she has seen it. She didn't act like she saw it because she would have been like, cut this mess off. There's a couple of things. Return of Lil' Cole, which I didn't know people were excited about. The little, come on, man, what y'all doing, man? That, I was like, all right, I guess. I ain't think he's last seen during Born Center. You could tell he's working on the album. He's getting better at the production. There is a couple of songs in there. One where he's riding a bike. One at the end over a Dipset sample.
That sounds like that song.
But there's one in there where they're all at the studio, and Cole plays on the verse, and everybody is going crazy. And I'm telling y'all right now, if this song ain't that song, then there was some studio dick sucking going on. They was, where was your head at, man? And then when you went beep, and on beep, I said, fam, this song has to be incredible. I thought maybe it's the Kendrick diss. Maybe he knew it was coming. And they was like, he was like, all right, I got something for her. Don't worry about it.
I think J. Cole knew this was coming. I think, to me, I feel like he set this trap for him. Because he knew that Kendrick wasn't going to sit back and let this hot ride. And I just felt like this was him like, all right, 1, 2, 3, this going to get him. This is going to bring somebody back outside. And then bring him back outside.
All right. Hey, I hope so. I'm enjoying.
I hope he do like a posse cut. I hope he get like J.I.D. on it. And they rip them together. Like, I hope things like do.
Oh, see, listen, that would be fun. But then Kendrick could be like, you needed somebody. I didn't need nobody. I did this by myself. Even though it is on the Future song. Future wasn't helping on that one.
Future was slapping, shoot.
Yo, all right, let's get into it's not next on the list, but we could get into We Don't Trust You, the Future Metro Boomin album. First of one of two. I mean, what is gonna be on the second one? If this is on the first one.
Who knows? Who knows? It's fire, though.
From the get-go, we can stay with the beef. From the get-go, the first song, We Don't Trust You, with that smiling faces, sometimes, you know, that sample, mm-hmm. sometimes you. It seems like Future's talking to Drake. So there's rumors and speculation of why they fell out. I played Sarah the What Would Pluto Do? That was from For All My Dogs. We didn't even talk about K to you Nas. And you get in the Pet Cemetery. That Kendrick was going hard. And it was talking about how Future is for the hoes and he'll sleep with your friend girl, your friend's girl or whatever. And then when you get to We Don't Trust You intro, he talked about, like, I know you can't be mad over the hoes. We sharing them and all that. So do y'all think that this is, like, because we know Metro Boomin has issue with Drake because he was upset about a Grammy nod or something like that.
Which I think is hilarious. Yes.
And then now it seems like Future and him have fallen out. Jermaine, Sarah asked this to me. I'm going to ask you this. Who's going to get custody of 21 Savage?
That's funny as shit, Metro Boomin. He got the beats. Drake can't do too much.
But it's Drake and J. Cole, because come on, he's done songs with both of those guys.
So did you hear, like, the other reason why they might have beef?
No.
Future and Drake. So supposedly, Future and Drake were supposed to do another collab album.
Oh, yeah.
And Drake basically scrapped or pushed that shit to the side to do the second collab album and end up doing collab albums with, like, 21 Savage. And now he's on tour with J. Cole, and Future ain't feeling that.
Yeah, Nori, there's a Breakfast Club clip, that's going around that said Nori had heard that. And I can see it. But I can see all of it, though. I can see it just being, yo, we were supposed to do a collab album. We didn't do it. You scrapped me. Cool, whatever. Now you mad because I'm fucking this chick or whatever, and then you pillow talking behind my back. I can see it all happening.
But this is the best for Drake right now, right?
Why is it the best for him?
Go explain.
Because
this.
If he makes a diss, he could cover all that shit in one, right? And if you do a collective diss on three niggas, that could really help you be more.
Who's the third? Is Future? Like,
Future, Kendrick, Metro Boomin.
Oh, Metro Boomin. Metro Boomin.
Yeah, but it has to be.
You got to get a cold ass beat from somebody that, like, you know, whoever is the hottest.
ATL, Jacob, ATL. I don't know.
Whoever you get, but get a cold beat. Talk about his way. It's booming harder than Metro. Talk, you know, that's all you got to say to kill him at the beginning. And then all you do is do a bunch of turns about the Future ain't always.
Oh, he can go get
a
hit, boy. Hit-Boy, yeah, Hit-Boy always like to battle all the producers. Go get Hit-Boy.
Hit-Boy do a hard beat. Flip a...
He got to be...
If Hit-Boy flips a 666 beat, man. If somebody does another 666
beat... He got to do what I thought it was at the Weak-Ass Bitch.
Yeah, Weak-Ass Bitch, Smoked Out. They could do that. Yeah.
All this stuff go... Man, this stuff going to get stolen. In like 3 months, beginning of the summer, you're going to hear a Hit-Boy produced track with Drake on it because he on tour right now, so he can't fire back. And y'all know he the petty king. So we're going to see what happens. But the only problem with that is that Drake's not going to be lyrical enough.
That's fine. That might be. He might be clever enough, though. Sometimes.
That's what I'm saying. All he got to do is he got to be funny. That's all he got to do. And Drake is funny. Now, he could do that.
Let's see. Oh, you know what?
Take out all three at once.
You know what song is he should grab? Do they have this in order? Was it the Unbreakables? There's one on here. Damn, I can't remember what it was. It might not be on this one.
In earlier news, the police still haven't.
And with cops, baby, about to find your body. There is. I can't remember which album it was. I apologize to 3-6 Mafia, Memphis.
If you say it, I can tell you.
When they sampled Goldberg. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Dun,
dun. I don't remember what album it was. And I was like, they sampling Goldberg's theme. What the hell is that about? I wanted to see what the beat sounded like because I haven't heard it in a while since. WCW might still have been around when they did that shit instead of
and
just being bought.
Triple Six Goldberg's.
I'll try. Nope, it don't come up. Yeah. Was it on When the Smoke Clears? Somebody yelling. EJ probably yelling like, nigga, it was on this one.
Maybe it's on about to blow the boy's
ass off. When I say weak ass, this is what we talking about. Bitch, weak ass bitch, weak ass bitch. When I say weak ass, you say bitch. Weak ass bitch, weak ass bitch. When I say weak ass, you say bitch. Oh, get Tay Keith. Tay Keith from Memphis, ain't he?
I think I saw.
Get Tay Keith. He can take a break from making all the sexy bread beats. Like, come on. Shit. You can do that real quick. Oh, man. Sarah, you want to give us your thoughts on this We Don't Trust You album that you told me earlier?
Oh, I am not a Future fan. He always reminded me of Thugnificent from the Boondocks. I don't know why. It just always stuck with me.
That is funny as shit, but he do.
You filed a complaint, old man. You filed a complaint against Thugnificent. Anyways, but this is one of the best rap albums I've heard in a long time.
Yeah. It is.
Metro Boomin really gets in his fucking bag. And you know what? If he don't work with 21 Savage no more because of all this beef shit, I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah, they're a good pair. Metro really gets in the pocket with a lot of good rappers. I agree with that sentiment about Future, because the only problem with the album is the length, but not because of the production style. It's just that Future subject matter isn't that varied, so he starts repeating things and just fucking chicks and buying houses.
Let me tell you what I like about Metro Boomin. He's making connections in hip-hop and R&B that Kanye West basically threw away.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fan of whenever The Weeknd and Metro get together.
He went back. He grabbed The Weeknd again. He has Future. Even Rick Ross got on his shit on this album.
Rick Ross
fucking snapped. I could not believe it. Because
I'm buying the tickets.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. No, we ain't doing that. You know, Rick Ross is so iffy. All he cared about his Wingstops and his farm that he got right now. But, you know, he had this one line. He said, baby mama's a fucking ops. You know, I'm like, man, dude is snapping. So I don't know what it is about Metro Boomin, but he needs to keep this up because we haven't really had a hot producer in a while. And he did that symphony. What was that, last year?
The Red Bull Symphony. Yeah. All right. With real pause, I found it. It's this song. At the damn
food. Oh, that'd be cold.
Told you. I might flip it up a little better, make it a little newer, but you could.
What album was it on?
It was on the right album. We was on When the Smoke Clears. It's 2000, so WCW still was around. That's what I figured. I was like, I think WCW still was here. Oh, man. Or to get a Project Pat beat. Shoot, he got a pocket full of them that you can just grab and jump onto. Are we done with the J. Cole, the Drake, the Kendrick, the Future?
Yeah.
Drake
better not come at Metro Boomin no more.
No more?
I got a soft spot for Metro Boomin. All he wants to do is just work, make good music.
Yeah.
Make heat.
St. Louis finest. Metro Boomin.
Maybe it's because he went through that tragedy. And I'm like, don't fuck with him, man.
Like,
leave him alone.
All right, Beyonce.
Hmm.
Dropping Friday. What you talking about? You're not a fan of Beyonce no more?
Because we could say, what are we going to say about Beyonce? We could just save it.
No. There's other stuff. What am I saving all this for? First of all, she dropped a statement. We got the album cover. In the statement for Cowboy Carter, she says, this album has been over 5 years in the making. It was born out of experience that I had years ago when I did not feel welcome. And it was very clear
CMT Awards.
CMAs.
Whatever.
But because of that experience, I did a deeper dive into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive. It feels good to see how music can unite so many people around the world while also amplifying the voices of some of the people who have dedicated so much of their lives educating on our musical history. She goes on to say, the criticism I faced when I first entered this genre forced me to propel past the limitations that were put on me. Act two is a result of challenging myself and taking my time to bend and blend genres together to create this body of work. She says she has a few surprises, and this ain't a country album. This is a Beyonce album.
That's right.
This is Act 2 Cowboy Carter, and I'm proud to share with y'all. So we got some responses to that. Erica Badu, being weird.
Yeah, super weird. It was so weird, I didn't even get it.
So one of the, have you seen the picture of Beyonce with the beads in her hair and the sash? Whatever the thing's called when y'all in the pageant. I guess Erica Badu was like, I rocked that first. So she said something, and then the beehive came at her. And then she was like, Jay, you going to let these women and these people act like this to me? And I said, you jumped in this conversation. And I guess she did it a couple of years ago with Act 1 when Beyonce was wearing like a cowboy hat or some shit like that. Can't remember. And then, of course, Azealia Banks has something to say, because when doesn't she have something to say about how Beyonce is moving because of white people's opinions and stuff like that? I said, but that falls on deaf ears. Like, the whole civil rights is based on, you know, white people's opinions. Y'all not welcome here. Oh, we not? All right, bet. So I don't understand what she was doing with that situation. So Beyonce was at the CMAs with the chicks, if y'all don't remember, and she performed. And it was their highest rated moment, 15, 10, whatever hour of the award show that she came on there. They put the video up and then pulled it down because of racist comments. So, yeah, fuck all that. I don't know why they could have just cut the comments off and could have kept some views for the video. So I'm excited
for
this album.
Well, the problem is that the Dixie Chicks aren't really welcome in country either.
Yeah, because they called out George Bush a long time ago.
I just think they're like full-fledged. They're not Republicans like most country music fans.
Yeah, because I'm proud to be an American. But, yo, that J. Cole part, that part wasn't funny. There was the old dude saying, like, how long was you in Germany? I was gone, like, when I was 1 year old. He said, man, niggas go to jail and be like, they was in jail for 6 months. And talking about they did a bid. You did a bid over there. When you get to Germany, tell them, like, I'm back home, baby. Okay, all right. Thank God. Appreciate it. Okay. Thanks for backing me up, guys. Manny Fontaine, did you watch the Freaknik doc?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
I thought it was informative. I didn't think some people were disappointed, but I was like, what you thought they were going to just show? You thought Hulu was just going to show people sucking dick on the side of the road? Like,
that's what they wanted.
Yeah, it is. Like, this should be on Max. Shoot, where the hits at. So,
it's like Girls Gone Wild and shit. Like, niggas really wanted to see some crazy shit. I actually liked that they were telling me like how it started and what it impacted. You know, listen, that shit was powerful.
Yeah, to find out that it came in, I think, 83, and it was started by the DC Metro Club, who was one of these college clubs attending one of the HBCUs down there. I can't remember which one. And you didn't have money to go back home during spring break, so they threw this little picnic together and what have you, and how it...
The freak out.
Yeah, Shay Chic, La Freak. So it was based off that. It wasn't didn't have the sexual connotation. It morphed into something bigger when Uncle Luke shows up, who he credited Atlanta for playing his music because Miami probably didn't have any hip-hop stations. And plus, shoot,
I thought it was Atlanta didn't have full hip-hop stations.
No, I think by the time Luke got there, they were playing his music, though. They didn't have it. Yeah, because V103, we find out, was kind of like the RV103.
Yeah.
And then it flipped. Because him and Jermaine Dupri, and along with 21 Savage, were the executive producers. 21 Savage was born in, I think they said, 92 or something like that.
And he shouldn't have talked on it.
No.
That was kind of weird.
No.
The only reason why they let him talk is because he did that little party.
Yeah.
If they let him talk, they could have let me talk. They would have said, what was your ideas? I said, man, I used to see it. I remember me and my boys used to talk about going down there, and we was going to take a car and try to get down there, and that never happened.
This is what,
because it was over.
This is what didn't make any sense. He glamorized, I think that's the word, like the 90s, as if like, oh, it looks so cool. And I said, why is he? Oh, you know who another one I was asking, why was he talking? Because we knew, we've heard, because we covered this, that he wasn't even born here. He was born on a British colony, an island over in the Caribbean or whatever. So if you're born in 92, by the time, let's say he gets here around the age of 8 or 9, it's 99. It's damn near over. It's over in really 96.
Yeah, all you have are that people's stories.
Yeah, so I was like, what can you offer to this?
I think that's wild, though. Like, in order for them to get to the Olympics, like, Freaknik had to stop.
Yeah, because they were like, well, we have Atlanta as this showcase to the world, and we can't have it being this way, so they blocked off all the traffic. It just made it really difficult
to get around the city.
Yes.
Man, them black people look so sad. So we've been driving for the fucking 3 hours. Yeah,
to get on. But
my mother gone.
That's back when gas was cheap, driving around a city all day. Yeah. It's like, what the hell?
The one thing, though, I don't put it all on the Olympics. I think non-college
people came and ruined it.
Yes. Like grown-ass men and women showing up just to be, that's what
ripping
are we doing?
People's clothes off.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too.
Horny.
You kind of could have.
Every year, you're getting hornier and hornier. People.
Yes. You kind of could have projected how this was going to be. You were going to get the Origins, which was the DC Metro. You were going to get it getting bigger and bigger every year, which is when Uncle Luke, Jermaine Dupri, because it was also, I liked how they kind of like the rise of Freaknik was side by side with the rise of Atlanta hip hop, you know, when that became bigger. And then
Outkast
obviously,
and Dungeon Boys.
They were going to end with sexual assault. They can't put that shit in 93 because I'm pretty sure there might have been a sexual assault. I shouldn't say there was possibility there were sexual assaults earlier, but you weren't going to be like, well, we were still partying. Like, until the Olympics go up. You got to, that's the way you got to tell this story. And it ended with, what's the old dude? I don't remember his name, but he wanted to bring Freaknik back, so he bought the name, and it's like a little festival.
I like that, though.
I like that. I like the fact that he put on a festival. I think for the other people, it's just, it's not Freaknik. I was like, I guess, but this is what y'all know it is.
I feel like for a lot of people, it's not Freaknik because they can't touch no ass. Like, man,
but
get out of
here.
But here's
the thing, too. Even if you, here's the problem, though. Even if you had Freaknik with all participants being on their best behavior, I don't think you will ever get it to where it used to be. Because cameras ruin that shit. I mean, now there was some big ass cameras, but that was probably for home. People's thinking that's home viewing. Hey, somebody in Kansas is gonna see what I look like.
Also,
who
college
cares?
Students can't afford no big ass camcorder.
Yeah, that's
like the fact that there was video footage is actually really rare.
Yeah,
because everyone couldn't afford a camcorder back then. Now you got a camcorder in your hand.
Yeah, and I think people are more cautious of how they act with everybody taking out their phones. So. Check that out. That is on Hulu.
Also, another thing is Atlanta has gotten way too big since then to sit there and try to be like, yeah, let's have this open space party with no actual area to do it and have people just driving around the city.
Yeah.
Like.
They would just get out their car and be like, all right, we good.
Oh, no, let's just talk about this. What would your behavior be at Freaknik at that age, 18, 17?
It would have been how I regularly
17,
18? You've been around me at 17, 18. If somebody would told you, like, John was out there ripping chicks' clothes off, you'd be like, my brother ripping people's clothes off?
No, that would never happen. We would have been laughing. John probably would have been down there trying to rap.
Maybe. Yeah, if there was a little battle to be had, if there was a little cypher going, I might have. I'm like, show them little country boys was good. Oh, man. Diddy's house or his homes were raided by Homeland Security.
This story is fucking wild.
I don't even know that much about it. I know that Homeland Security in New York is the one to spark this because that's where his charges stem from. They had L.A. and Miami help them. They went. This is linked to the sex trafficking investigation. Justin and King, his two sons, were in cuffs at one point. I saw Fox 5 L.A., a quick news story on it, but I don't know what they got yet. We don't know what's
so
going
we
on.
Don't know what they got, but after all of, we don't even know if like anyone was actually taken into custody out of his kids. Like what was in the house? Why are you arresting the kids? What's going on? The only thing we know is that Diddy ain't there. He ain't at neither one of the houses.
Yeah.
And now it's starting to come out. It's starting to come out that he's actually in a plane and he's flown out of the country.
Oh, he did the Russell.
Yeah. Like he has vacated the premises.
All right, let me see. A spokesperson for the department confirmed the raids in a statement to the Daily Beast. Earlier today, Homeland Security Investigations New York executed law enforcement actions as part of an ongoing investigation with assistance from HSI LA and Miami and our local enforcement partners. We will provide further information as it becomes available. Oh, it was Fox 11 LA who did that. Who had the overhead footage. At least 3 other Jane Doe interviews are scheduled, a source told the station. That's all right. That's fucked up. All right. That's all I can give y'all. That's some crazy shit that went down. Did y'all see that they, instead of saying pause and no homo, they start saying no Diddy?
No Diddy? Yeah, yep. I saw that.
That is crazy.
Man, where is the Boondocks when you need them right now?
You don't need them. You don't need them.
The Young Bulls love me. I put them in position. No Diddy. And I get them up there. So,
I like all that flow. That flow is really good. No Diddy.
No Diddy. I put the Young Boys in position. No Diddy. All right. Let's get this listening quarter. We already talked about We Don't Trust You. We talked about Big Sean's Precision. I did finish that Tierra Whack. That album, I think, is going to be nominated for a Grammy. That is a good album. I'm warning you right now, it's some heavy topics she explores. Life, and what you might want to do when life starts lifing. But it's a real good album. Check Worldwide Whack, I think that's what it's called. I listened to that Jordan Lucas, Not Now I'm Busy. He was snapping on that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you told me about it.
No, I totally.
He got a joint on there with
I watched Lion King.
With Twista.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, and Twista basically talked about how his hip hop journey, like how he had to change his style and stuff when he was when he did Po' Pimpin'. But this one right here, boy, get me right in the gym.
Shit right here, man, you want to get in my motherfucking zone. Bro. Can you feel the beat within my heart? Yeah. Can't you see my love shine through the dark? Can't you see that you must be a part? Yeah, I got 99 problems, but a bitch could never be one. Stressing about hoes that'd never be fun. Break a bitch hard, then step on each one. Better tell Ice Spice I could never be a munch.
Come on. Ooh. Come on. He was snapping.
Jordan Lucas, he was snapping. Coming with it.
He was snapping.
He got a great voice. This yeah. Is nasty.
He's snapped so much, I wasn't mad he did this shit. It's like blood on his face there looking at the album cover.
Drinking all night, I'm faded. Staring at pictures, anxious. Praying one day we go back to before we became some distant strangers.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Man.
It's a good little album, man. He got Simba on there. And he got this boy. Hold up, boy. Let me get to it. This is I Didn't Go featuring Simba and DMX.
Been through the pain. Been through the struggle. Been through the rain. Made it out the jungle. And I'm grateful for it all. The blessings and the curses. The triumphs and the failures. The lessons and the verses.
Yeah, it's a good DMX verse. And I was like, I didn't know there was some posthumous DMX verses flown out there, but it's really good. Did I list anything else? I gotta make sure I listed all the stuff that I listened to. Oh, Tyler.
Yeah, I heard it's you cool. Listen to that yesterday.
It's cool. I forgot I did listen to some. I didn't even put her on my list thing, but yeah, it's cool. I'll say that. I'm not really a big Afrobeat song fan like that. I enjoy the music, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying my ear isn't crafted enough because a lot of it be sounding like the same damn song. I'm like, this is nothing. I was sitting there listening to Tyler thinking, what, when they threw on these beats, was she not like, this doesn't sound like the last one? She was just like, all right, this one's really the one. I'm like, oh, okay, if you say so.
They was roasting her on Lipstick Alley because she says that she going to be bigger than Rihanna.
Well, she dreaming big, that's all that is.
That's how nice of her.
Does Still All Right got Logic on the job? You ain't said that.
Logic and Twista, yeah. Logic and Twista is on that one.
How Logic do?
It was fine.
Man, what happened with Logic? How'd he fuck up his bag? Man,
He started doing drugs.
He started trying to fight while he was trying to fight for his blackness. When you black, you black, man.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't try to prove that you're black.
Yeah, he was
just
fine.
Be you. Yeah.
Usher's Confessions turned 20. Manny Fontaine, your favorite song on Usher Confession is?
Superstar Problem.
All right, Sarah J.
Confessions, part one. Because I like the deluxe version.
Okay, mine is Can You Handle It? That's all right. That was good. Didn't take us long to figure out what our songs were. Meek Mill has finally, we're in the headline section, guys. Meek Mill has finally blocked academics. He did. That was a news story.
Is enough? Is enough?
Benny the Butcher. I thought this beef with Freddie Gibbs was over, but apparently not. He got his baby mama a chain. Did you see this Manny Fonte?
No.
What is, huh? Benny the Butcher got Freddie Gibbs' baby mama a chain?
Yeah.
That is too much.
Yeah. I saw Fit Mommy. That's her name.
There we go.
Benny the Butcher blesses Freddie Gibbs' baby mama with an iced out BSF chain.
What?
Of course DJ Academics on this. Benny the Butcher really beat up Freddie Gibbs and took his baby mom, snatched Freddie Gibbs' chain, and gave his baby moms a new one. So, I don't get it. But, okay.
You get it.
No, I don't, because, fam, we done. If I don't beat you up.
That's the same type of time you on, John. I know you.
Okay. You know me well. Kanye has sent out, sorry, my bad. Ye has sent out, I don't know if it's a cease and desist. He sent out letters to publications. We didn't get one. So I guess we can still keep calling him Kanye. That stop calling him Kanye.
Yeah,
his
stop
name
it.
Is Ye.
That's right.
It was weird. I get your name changed, but he said Kanye West is my slave name. And I'm like, technically West would be the slave name. Kanye is the name your mama gave you. I'm confused about this part.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Normani announced a single and an album. So maybe it's going to finally come.
What is going on? They really played this girl. Man, she's supposed to have been dropped her album when she had steam. Ain't nobody looking for her right now.
No, they're not. Quavo announced a Spark Grants program to award $100,000 to organizations in an effort to minimize gun violence in Atlanta. I think that's a good thing. The organization sought to end gun violence in America and the fallout from Takeoff's death and started its work in Atlanta as a jumping off point to further gun control in the country at large. Speaking of Atlanta, they said this Young Thug YSL case can go to 2027.
How?
Because they have so many damn witnesses. And did y'all see last week they had the witness up there who was like, the prosecution had this witness, he was like, man, I'm so high, I don't remember nothing. I was like, what is going
on? I don't watch no court stuff, man. No. I don't do that.
Don't watch this one because it's super confusing. Like, everyone seems like a clown.
Yeah.
I don't watch Judge Mathis.
Did you?
I don't like.
We're staying right here, so I hope I didn't mess up your train of thought. I meant to bring this story up a few weeks ago. I think it was around Grammys when Bradley Cooper was just talking to everybody. He has said he went to Jay-Z's house maybe back in 2012, and he was shocked that Jay-Z was watching Judge Judy. And I said, so Jay-Z just like my parents, because every time I go over there, it is some judge show to be watched.
Yeah.
They love it. I was like,
why? I can't. And I'd be like, why y'all watch this? Y'all know y'all hate going to court.
I mean, in all fairness, Jay-Z's close to your parents' age, give or take.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, it's understandable.
Yeah.
An old dude doing old dude things, watching court shows. Shit, I remember back in the day, my dad's shit used to be soap operas. I used to be like, why are you watching this?
Yeah, that's my Uncle Robert used to watch soap operas.
Dang, I ain't no grown man watch soap operas.
You remember that?
No.
Like, recorded for him? He recorded for himself?
I was like, how can you keep up with this? I was like, Dad, you got to go back to work.
Stop. Yeah, that's the stop. That never stops.
Like, man, it's like a that's how, like, that's how I feel about Country Wayne. Like, this is like a soap opera, but I can't keep watching it because it's every day. And
you
I'm
saw,
like,
you saw Country Wayne is in a beef with FaceOn Love and Godfrey?
Yeah.
Country Wayne, right? Not Country Kane. Country Wayne. All right. This bothered me. So we're on spring break. Ain't really shit to do. I'm up here cleaning the room. I open my phone and looking at the news. And Godfrey was on Shannon Sharp. And he was responding to the time Country Wayne was on there talking about FaZe on Love, because I don't know why they in the beef. And so Godfrey was on there talking about something. I think he was on, I'm doing what Godfrey said. He was like, I think Country Wayne, Country Wayne was talking about if you still do comedy clubs that, you know, you're a nobody or something like that. And he went on to say that, you know, Chappelle does comedy clubs and work out his stuff, Seinfeld. So Shannon Sharp actually corrects him. He said, no, he was saying that if that's your only option in reference to FaZe on.
To FaZe on, yeah.
Yes. So then Godfrey said, even if that's the case, it's still hard to fill comedy clubs, even if it's like 300, 400 people. Fast forward, yeah. Right after that, Country Wayne come in and said, keep my name out your mouth. I was talking about blah, blah. And I said, did you just see a clip? Because Shannon Sharp did correct him and said what you said. And he responded to that, too. I don't know why these comedians are the new rappers. Thank God Kendrick got us back on track. Y'all got to start with the beef.
It was pointless for both of them. Because Godfrey seemed like he was reaching for even bringing it up.
Yes.
Because you should have known if you watched Country Wayne's one, you knew that he was talking about Faison on Love in that moment.
But
he wasn't talking about people
in general. I think Godfrey was just because him and Faison are friends, so he felt like he needed to stick up for him. But then once he got corrected, he was like, but it's still hard to do. What is Faison Love in Country? Why they got beef?
I can't remember that one. I can't remember. I really can't remember. Because there's so much beef going around, it's confusing.
All right. Let's see. Did anybody have any thoughts about Candace Owens on The Breakfast Club?
I didn't look at it like how other people did. Like, people were really mad that this radio show that is, you know, composed of nothing but black people gave such a self-hating woman a platform. And then the next day she lost her damn job. So, you know.
Yeah.
She lost her job?
Yeah, she got fired from the Daily Wire. I think that's what it's called. Because it's like a Daily Mail or Daily Wire, and there's a Daily Beast.
Daily Mail, I think, is British.
Yes. Daily Beast might be.
Daily Wire is very right wing.
Yeah. So my thing is, The Breakfast Club ain't The Breakfast Club anymore. Maybe it never was. We hyped it up to what it was. So, but I guess they still get numbers and clicks, and they do anything for numbers and clicks. I won that platform, Candace Owens. I couldn't care less about her. She's the one who shitted on George Floyd after his death, Breonna Taylor. I called her a drug dealer, called George Floyd an addict, and didn't give a damn about any of this shit. So we ain't really got nothing to talk
also
about.
Also wore the shirt with Kanye saying white lives matter.
Yeah, we got nothing to talk about. It's cool. I see where you at. I'm not trying to convince you. You damn sure as hell ain't going to convince me to think like you. It's fine. But yeah. The Breakfast Club got to get their clicks going. Lollapalooza got their headlines. I think SZA is on this list.
Who's the headliner?
Let me go. Because Rolling Stone got the Thursday list. I see Lil Baby, Metallica. But I was like, I just, we not going through the whole list.
Can we go this year? No.
You want to go to Lollapalooza?
Not without getting a hotel right there in the city.
You can just jump on the train.
Dude, the last train runs at midnight.
SZA, Tyler, the Creator, and Blink 182.
That'll be a cheap as hell, doesn't it?
Yeah, what's the problem? What's there? Who am I? Sarah says, I'm Jason Pitts. Who else? There's a couple other cheap people. The dad from Everybody Hates Chris.
Yeah, that's exactly who he is.
Yeah. But y'all haven't did no trips in a while.
No.
You would think John would be like, oh, yeah, let's do it.
Nah, because that's just Chicago.
Yeah, that's
that's John's whole thing. Because I told John, I was like, man, I'll go back to St. Louis this summer. He's like, yeah, that's fine, but we need to go somewhere further.
Yeah, forget that. I go to St. Louis tomorrow if I want to. I could go Thursday night. I'm off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I was like, I don't care about St. Louis like that. I enjoy the little city. What is it? It is De La Soul. I know that much. And Lauryn Hill. Are going into the Grammy.
De La Soul?
What?
They're going where?
The Grammy Hall of Fame.
Oh, I thought we were still talking about Lollapalooza.
Oh.
I was like, one of the members is dead.
Oh, my gosh. I was wondering why you said that like that. I was like, wait, what's going on? He was like, what did they do?
Lauryn Hill is going, Lauryn Hill.
The album. So, Miseducation.
Okay, the album. I was like, Lauryn Hill is going into the Grammys Hall of Fame with only one actual album under her belt.
Yeah. So here's the full list of 2024 Grammy Hall of Fame inductee recordings. De La Soul's 3 Feet High and Rising, Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, Buena Vista Social Club, self-titled, Donna Summer, I Feel Love. Let's see. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. There's a lot more albums on here. And I don't like, What a Fool Believes. Come on. What a Fool. You know that song, Jermaine, don't you?
Not the way y'all sung it.
What a fool believes.
Yeah.
To see. Na, 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 na.
Oh, yeah, okay, I got it. Yeah,
Remember, Michael McDonald had the didn't have the beard. And he sounded
this
white.
What y'all were doing?
Yeah, you about to hear?
Oh my god! I know this song. But
oh, I was thinking for you.
I know. I couldn't figure it out. Yeah. Hey. That's what y'all was trying to get to. I see you. Y'all would have been better doing the beat for me.
Yeah, we would have. Here go. Yo, you know how I know about the Doobie Brothers? Because of the episode of What's Happening, where Rerun snuck a camera into the concert to bootleg it.
That's hilarious. You know how Jermaine knows about the Doobie Brothers and Michael McDonald? Because I sent him a video of DJ Quick.
Oh,
fucking
yeah.
Singing.
I think he knew about them beforehand, but okay. That video was really recent.
Who is it, Sugar Free?
Yes, it was Sugar Free.
No, you know what was funny? Sterl just found out that Bobby Caldwell was white.
Shut up.
Yes, he put it in the group chat. We was like, what? I said, bro, you didn't notice it? No.
I'd be like, Sterl, did you do an edible before you said this?
I said, and I was kind of disgusted by him because I was like, honestly, we all love music pretty good in this group. Like, really, we all, like,
yeah,
pretty good down with music. I'm like, how could you not have known this, bro? Like, yeah,
you know what you won't do for love? You know about My Flame? By Bobby Caldwell?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I don't. I didn't know that's what it was called, though, but...
A nigga never been as broke as me.
I like that.
Like that.
This shit was dope. Oh man!
Besides that,
the pink trays and the grays. Oh my goodness, that sounds so dope! All right, well let's not be assholes. Let's not be.
Want to see the inside?
I'll see you later. Bow. What's he supposed to be in my face? All right, "Kiss an Angel Good Morning" by Charlie Pride. "Let's Have a Party" Wanda Jackson. Ori's Creole Tombstone.
What are we doing? What are
I'm doing the rest
still
of
going
it.
Through this Grammy list.
Come on,
I don't want to be disrespectful to the other artists. Kid Ori's Creole Orchestra, and then the last one is "You Don't Miss Your Water" by William Bell.
Man,
I didn't know the last six people you named.
I only named three more.
We was in a vibe. You ruined it. Man, wrap this shit up now, man. Right, nah. Man.
All right, here we go.
I could have went 30 more minutes up.
All right,
the way you did that.
That's the end of the episode.
Why is that song 40 years old and still a bop?
I want good music at my funeral. I want everybody to play great music. I don't even want nobody to talk. Just do a playlist.
Why don't you make your own playlist?
I am. I'm definitely, it's gonna be jumping.
You want R&B, you want adult contemporary? Because my favorite song from the 80s is Cameo's Candy.
Oh,
and if
boy.
I play that.
Your boy is doing a movie about your boy.
Who's my boy doing a movie?
Ryan Coogler is doing a musical type jukebox movie based on Prince's music. You see this?
This is going to be fucking amazing.
He said, John, stop lying to me. Don't play with my emotions.
I don't even know what a what's the name is. I hit the wrong button. So it's all right. Here's the headline from Black and Let's Go Crazy. Ryan Coogler set to produce Prince jukebox musical film. What does that mean?
I don't know, but I'll be at Kendall 10 watching it.
Oh yeah, okay. Hold on, So you wasn't offended when Kendrick called himself Prince?
Why?
I think. Well, I can't answer for Sarah, but I understood what he was saying. More of the artist. I thought you asked a serious question for Sarah. Like, she could have been
know she's such a Prince fan, so, you know.
Plus, here's the wild part about it. Prince and Kendrick had a relationship. Prince liked Kendrick Lamar. And
that's beautiful.
It's the thing, and I'm not saying that, and obviously I believe if Michael Jackson lived longer, Drake would have met Michael Jackson because Michael Jackson had met Biggie and Jay-Z. He seemed to be a fan of hip-hop. And
how did Drake not meet Prince, though?
I don't know, but I think maybe Prince wasn't a fan of Drake. I don't think he met him.
He's friends with his uncle.
That's true.
But, who's his uncle?
Larry Graham. Larry Graham is Drake's uncle. He looks just like his dad, Dennis, and he was Prince's mentor for Jehovah, for the Jehovah Witness religion.
Oh.
He was from Sly and the Family Stone. That's what he was in there.
Okay.
He was a bassist and a baritone singer.
Born and a Jehovah's Witness.
Beaumont, Texas. Beaumont.
But yeah, if that movie comes out, yeah, I'll watch it. Hopefully it comes out on something streaming, because I don't really like to go out.
I do. I went to go see, what's that I wanted to go see? Oh, The Magical Negroes, American Society Magical Negroes. I heard that movie did not do well at the box office. I was the only person there. It was a Thursday. But I agree with the people saying that American Fiction did a better job with their messaging. And I was like, you're right. I think the part they try to turn this into a romantic comedy, that didn't land too well. But David Alan Greer is a delight, as always.
David Alan Greer is a great actor. He does not get his flowers.
Yeah. All right, that is the episode. You can tweet me at one and only. Tweet Sarah at Kicks and Coffee. Mandy Fontaine at Mandy Fontaine. While Twitter's still up, because I heard them numbers is rough.
People are tired of getting ads, man.
Them ass is trash too. That's not even like this movie shit you ain't ever heard of. You're like, what?
Oh man.
There's like, you want to buy this pillow fluffer? I said, you can buy something that fluffs your own pillow. I could do that myself. Until next time, guys. Peace.
Peace.